thanks for joining us on the program today. Now that we have our 105-day legislative session in the books, we wanted to start to catch up with some of our lawmakers from the 12th and 7th District. As you know, on the legislative hotlines on Thursdays and Fridays, we rotated with our lawmakers in from the 7th District, and every other Thursday, we got a chance to hear from State Senator Shelley Short, and I have to make sure that I don't twist my tongue on that, Senator Short. Thanks for joining us on the hotlines all throughout the session every other Thursday, and for being a guest on the agenda today. It's great to catch up with you.
Well, it's good to catch up with you and your listeners, and I've so appreciated the opportunity, you know, to do that during session.
And just real quick, of course, kind of an expanded 7th district. The 7th, isn't it like the largest in the state? Am I mistaken about that?
No, you're not mistaken. Actually, it's over 15,000 square miles, and it covers either all or portions of 7 counties.
And so when it expanded down into the almost just about to the border of northern border of East Wenatchee, I just thought that made a lot of sense to have you on legislative hotline. So we really enjoyed hearing your positions on the different legislative items throughout the session. So here we are. We want to do a little bit of a recap. There's lots of hot topics that we can talk about, but so that we don't run out of time at the end, the capital budget is always so important locally, and so I wanted to let you highlight in the 7th District some of the funds that are coming out of the capital budget that you want to share with the folks in the 7th District.
Oh, sure. It's a hugely important budget, especially when we think of smaller communities, small schools, you know, fire districts, libraries, community centers. It's really hard to do those capital improvements. And so oftentimes we utilize the capital budget to partner with local jurisdictions. And I can give you some examples of some over in East Wenatchee area. Part of funds on local and community projects, Airlift Northwest Hangar, Columbia Grove Community Playground, Greater Wenatchee Irrigation District, Town of Elmer City Fire Station, and a lot of our 7th District schools, they received modernization, small district and tribal compact schools modernization grant money to do work on their schools. So it's a very important budget.
We're talking with State Senator Shelley Short from the 7th District. Is it true that the capital budget probably has the best bipartisan working relationship? I've heard that before. What's your thought on that?
It really has. And I think over time I've seen it become more bipartisan. You know, initially when I came to the legislature and served in the House, it wasn't seen as a statewide budget. So you saw a lot of heavy influence maybe on the west side of the state, not as much on the east side, but I really credit lawmakers from both sides of the aisle really, continuing to improve that and recognizing needs all across the state of Washington. So I've been really pleased to support it. I like to remember we get a lot of proposals to fund. And what I like to remind people is it's important to have local buy-in. It's important that these are part of your project, but not funding the entire project. And so a lot of times I try to help people put together packages that might be, you know, multiple funding sources, and the capital budget might be part of that.
And with it being such a huge geographical area, that just means there's so many more projects to would be quite worthy. You can't get them all supported and funded, so I know that it must be you must feel a real challenge there.
It certainly was this year. We received a lot of applications and requests. I really work tend to want to look at those areas where they've had emergent needs. You know, it might be like there was one for, Ferry County Fairgrounds. They were having trouble with their water system. We continued to work with them. to help partner. And I look to those kind of things first because I think, you know, we need to keep our communities going. And those are important, you know, important things in our towns, whether it's infrastructure, those community, you know, gathering spaces. So I kind of tend to look for those first, but there's a number of other projects, you know, Capital Dental expansion for, you know, for federally qualified health clinics. You know, those are big things for our community so people get their health care. So it really runs the gamut. But the one thing I'd like to share is there are a lot of pots of money in the capital budget where if you're just starting out, sometimes those become funding sources much more than, say, a member project. So we like to try and help folks through that, too, to become aware of funds that they might be able to, you know, apply for. Those are usually competitive, but we work to do the capital budget from that angle, too.
We're talking with State Senator Shelley Short, who represents the 7th District, and, of course, you may be in an area that used to be in the 12th. Now you're in the 7th District, and now that the session has wrapped up in Olympia, how can folks that find themselves now in the 7th District get in touch with your office here locally, outside of Olympia, and say, hey, this is a concern that I have that I'd like your office to look into? What's the best point of contact, Senator?
Oh, sure. Well, obviously, my email address, I keep abreast and watch what's coming in for any questions or help with state agencies, and that would be my email address at Shelley, Shelley, dot Short, Short, at leg.wa.gov. And then I'll give you my work cell phone number as well, and I invite people to call me. I want to stay connected with people, and so it's important for people to have access to me. And that number is 509-207. Oh, my goodness. I will think through that for just a moment.
I'll let you look it up over the course of the interview. We'll get it at the end, because now, you know, we had that legislative redistricting, but you didn't technically become the new state senator for many until kind of like the sort of at the beginning of the year. So you know, now we're into the normal process, and for many. Senator Short is your new state senator, was representing you with the legislature under the way. Before we move off budgets, just wanted to ask you, I was looking at a chart the other day of where we went from the 2011 to 2013 biennium on the general fund to where we are now over the next 2 years, and I think the budget is more than 2.5 times the size it was just, 11, 12 short years ago. It is just, that it's such a steep bell curve. It's just incredible.
Well, it is incredible. And a lot of that isn't necessary. And I think when you think of the impact to your families, to your, you know, your job creators, your small businesses, and just really families trying to find their way, raise their families, you know, do their work, it's just been really burdensome, in a lot of cases. And the thing I appreciate about this budget is it lived within its means. It set aside, you know, nearly $3 billion into a rainy day fund, and it really grew at about inflation. Now, it still grew, but, you know, there are costs associated with that. There were a number of programs that we think are good, you know, to continue with education, special education, you know, a lot of folks that need help with their health care, those are important things. And behavioral health, obviously, you know, mental health funding is just really huge, so huge right now in the state of Washington. But I was really proud. I didn't support the budget, so I need to say that up front. I voted no, and I have my reasons for doing that. But I think it was a much more responsible budget than we've seen in past years.
I know that there were a number of lawmakers here in North Central Washington that voted no on the the education aspect of this. There's going to be more funding for teachers' salaries. And I know for many of our lawmakers here, the priority was there. Our teachers are already pretty well paid, and wondered what your take on that was.
Well, part of just the structure, those are negotiated agreements between the governor and any of our unions, teachers' unions being one of those. And I think the frustration for a lot of people is not being able to see those negotiations and understand what goes into them. And our vote, our legislative role is up or down. You know, we can either support the negotiations or we can reject the negotiations. You know, we can't get into those agreements and say, well, fund this over here, not over here. It's an up or down, take it or leave it. So that, you know, that's a frustration. But I think on the education front, we were super happy with increased funding in special education. But one of the glaring missing pieces was funding the learning loss that we've seen so tremendously. You know, during the pandemic, we had it in our Senate budget. Funding for just think of your mentorship and your tutoring, and there were grants available to school districts to really ramp that up. And the House didn't include it, and it wasn't in the final budget. So that's a big disappointment.
State Senator Shelley Short with us from the 7th District and on the legislative hotlines on every other Thursday. You heard her take on the latest legislation that was being talked about. We're going to talk about police pursuits, drug possession legislation, a bill on gender-affirming care. But before we get into any of that, I want to make sure that I give you a chance to kind of recap some of the bills that you had introduced or worked hard on. I didn't get a chance to hear every single legislative hotline you were on, so I want to let you update where some of the bills you had either introduced or had co-sponsored ended up that you're especially proud of the work, or if they made it all the way through.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. One bill I was disappointed didn't make it through was an education bill to strengthen the decision-making of our local school boards. We saw that front and center during the pandemics, especially where local school boards really saw their decision-making authority just come from the top of the state onto their school districts. And my bill would have reaffirmed that it's local decision-making and that, you know, we have 295 school districts, and they all are different, and they all encompass different populations and different people and families, and school boards should be able to make those decisions that reflect that.
Where did that die?
Well, it died in committee. I'm not going to give up on it. I think it's a huge topic when we talk about education, but what we saw was the governor's office, through the state superintendent of public instruction, Chris Rakedahl, we saw them really take tremendous authority away from the schools to set things the schools felt worked better for them during the pandemic, to the point where we had schools that chose to adopt other policies on masking and other things, really face, you know, potential fines and taking state education funding away from them. And to me, you know, Chris has an important role when it comes to the fiduciary responsibility, making sure schools are spending money the way they should. But beyond that, it should be up to our local school districts. So I was super frustrated. I think it just continues to show, this kind of command and control from the state, if you will, instead of recognizing the individuality of all the school districts. So I was just super disappointed in that. I also work on the Growth Management Act and local land use planning, and I was really pleased that a couple of my bills got through to the, I'm awaiting governor's signature, they've been delivered to him, but they're really designed for smaller cities. And the reason we say the Growth Management Act is kind of what I call a square peg in a round hole, and a lot of it is very onerous for our smaller jurisdictions. So the bills I worked on really gave flexibility that cities could work with the counties if they so chose to be part of maybe their planning processes where they don't have to do them individually. And that's what, and some also relief for, say, cities that maybe only had less than 10% growth. And so really recognizing that we have some unique circumstances, especially in our rural communities, to kind of give them a break when it comes to land use policy. And they were very bipartisan, supported all the way through the process.
Senator Shelley Short with us. Let's talk about a few of the pieces of legislation that went through. One of them that I think everybody has maybe agreed that we need some more work on, at least from the law enforcement side and perhaps others, and that's where we ended up on police pursuits. Wanted to get your thoughts on that. We've seen the number of police pursuits, get my terminology right. We've seen the number of people fleeing law enforcement like up 100% since the standards were changed back the legislature before, and that was one of the things that was really targeted as we need to refine this. And what you sort of heard was, well, we got a little way of the way there, but I know the Association of Police Chiefs and Sheriffs are saying we still have a lot more work to do. So I want to get your opinion on what we ended up with the final bill out of Olympia on police pursuits.
Sure. Well, and I appreciate that question. That we've called that bill a half step, you know, in forward progress, a very small step, but we felt that it was important to have some movement. That just means we're going to be back to do more. With my brother's retired law enforcement out of the city of Spokane, and you know the job they do every day is so hard. And right now we have people committing crime and just fleeing law enforcement because they know they can. And it's putting people in danger. It's not allowing these criminals to be off the street, to be charged. And, you know, when I look at the bill, the biggest piece, and it left me scratching my head, was not including vehicle pursuits. I mean, the numbers are off the charts in the state of Washington when it comes to, you know, to theft of vehicles. And to not be able to include that in law enforcement's ability to use, you know, that reasonable suspicion standard that they had for so long, I'm just really just really leaves me wondering. You know, it's going to make a little bit of difference, but I worry that people in their communities are still going to be fraught with crime and you know, law enforcement not being able to do the kind of job that they've been able to in years past.
State legislators also rejected amending the drug possession law that would bring back minimum misdemeanor charges as well. So what do you think about what we ended up with not getting what it appeared we would probably address in the legislature?
Really disappointing, actually. We had three out of four caucuses in agreement, in being able to put up a bipartisan bill, I should say, because there were yeses and noes. But the House Democrats just absolutely stonewalled it. And the stunning thing is, look, I voted no against the bill that came out of the Senate. I certainly would have supported it had they needed my vote. But there was still work to be done. You know, I still felt like there wasn't the connection, if diversion and treatment wasn't done, that there be responsibility on the back end of that. That wasn't in that bill. But look, it came down to just a handful of items that stakeholders identified, you know, as the House bill came back, you know, was being brought up, and we were trying to do negotiations to get those points in to make sure that our prosecutors had, you know, that they're a part of that process. The House bill left them out, which was pretty stunning to me. And that we didn't create any loopholes where people could continue to languish on drugs. And there was some language in there that would have really made it hard for law enforcement to even be able to charge an individual, because it was both, you know, you were doing the drug, but you had to be seen in public doing the drug. And so there were so few pieces that were left, but they were really important. They weren't deal breakers. I think we left some things clearly off the table in good faith to try and capture agreement. And it was really frustrating at the end. I was shocked when we watched the bill come up. I thought, oh, great, they brought the bill up. They have the votes. And we were watching the votes come up and was just stunned that it was defeated. I've never seen that in my time in Olympia, where a bill is brought up and defeated on the floor.
And is there going to be a special session? Isn't the legislature supposed to come up with a remedy to the Blake decision here before the summer, I thought?
Well, July 1st, you're correct. Look, there, we talked quite a bit about the one big topic that I want to cover is what state preemption. So what we didn't want was a bill that was so watered down that would prevent local cities and counties from adopting their own, you know, more stringent ordinances. And that was a problem in the House language. They wanted the state to be the arbiter, and instead of letting local jurisdictions decide what works best for them. Of course, you know, my Democratic colleagues have said, oh, that's going to just create chaos. And to me, it's about respect for your local governments and, you know, their jurisdiction and their communities. So I think that was a huge piece. So where we go from now, if July 1st comes and no bill, then, you know, essentially it will be wide open to local jurisdictions determining what kinds of ordinances and process that they want in dealing with drugs. But it does decriminalize drugs. The drug possession would still be misdemeanor. And there's a lot of folks that are concerned about that. But if it was better to have no bill, you know, than to have something that was not workable for local prosecutors, was not workable for law enforcement, and for, you know, not workable for folks that are just really dealing with drug addiction, trying to get them that legitimate help to go on a different path. And it was super frustrating. So we could come back and address that before July. And I would support that. I think as long as we can come up with something similar, you know, that we were working on, so local, it didn't impede our local jurisdictions. So I'm for it if there's a path forward, and we'll see.
And finally, before we let you go, I want to ask you about this. There was legislation under consideration, a proposal that if a youth had gone to a state health center, like a state-run health group home, and maybe I'm not characterizing that just right, but had said that they wanted to seek gender-affirming health care, that would trigger a mechanism under this proposed legislation that parents could not be notified, that they would be shielded from knowing where their youngster was, and irrespective of what that gender-affirming care might entail, that the parents would not be notified. Law enforcement would know, just so that they would know that it wasn't like a kidnapping or a crime or anything like that, but the parents would be cut out of the process. Number one, did that pass? And number two, wanted to get your thoughts on that.
One of the worst bills of the session. One of the top worst bills of the session. And my comments are not against, you know, youth who are struggling with who they are. You know, with where do I fit in the world? You know, who am I? You know, that I don't want to undercut or diminish the challenges that really our teenagers have. But you can't have the state usurp itself over the family, the parents and the family. And this bill did that. I commented on the floor, we've all had tough conversations as kids with our parents and parents with their kids. And you you take away that ability to learn from each other and really to go through those really difficult times together. The state, you know, if there's child abuse or neglect, I mean, absolutely the state should be able to step in, no question. But what this does is allows a child to be away from their family, seek refuge, if you will. And the only notification to parents, well, we did put that into the legislation that there has to be a 72-hour, you know, a notification. So they at least know. But the point still exists that the state is putting itself in between the their family and the child. And I've never seen anything like it. It shouldn't be the case that unfortunately it passed. I was looking it up. It's been delivered to the governor. Haven't seen him sign it yet, but I'm sure he will. But we've got to stop getting the state into the business of individual families, you know, just of your community. I mean, just really, you know, we should be able to think differently, and we should be able to make different decisions, you know, the decisions that are best for our families and our communities, and yet we find the state saying, no, it's got to be this way. But there's one thing I want to share that was really concerning to me on the bill 5599, is it really, you know, the state would say, oh, well, we're not splitting up families. You know, Department of Social and Health Services will help, you know, help the family try and find a path. That is hugely concerning to me. The state shouldn't be, if there's not abuse and neglect and a reason for the state to step in, there should be no state involvement, period. And yet this now creates more state involvement in the family in a way that we've never seen before. And that was the thing that just sent chills up my spine, frankly.
All right. Well, we've talked about a lot of different things out of the legislature, but it's really only just scratching the surface. Unfortunately, our time grows short. Just any final thoughts on this 105-day session or how you representing this whole new expanded 7th District, or at least reconfigured 7th District?
Well, first of all, I'm just really excited. When I look at the things that are important to people in, you know, Douglas County and Grant County and the southern part of Okanagan County, you know, they're shared. You know, farming, agriculture, orchards, you know, making sure families have the education they need, making sure that our communities can thrive. All of those things are very similar. And I look forward to learning the nuances of things that, you know, people are really concerned about. Just honored to do that. And I would say, you know, the biggest success this session was no new taxes. There were proposals that were put forward, you know, the real estate excise tax, and then the big one was a 3% growth in property taxes, not just local, but the state share of the property tax. I was really concerned and heard from a lot of people on fixed incomes that would be very hard on them. And so I was super happy that those bills did not get through the process. But I want to let listeners know, too, there's a lot that we do agree on, and we do work together in a bipartisan way. I'm proud of my relationships with my Democratic colleagues when we can get shared things done. And we work really hard at that, and I want your listeners to know that.
All right. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us on the Legislative Hotline this year. And, of course, we'll do it again next session, and we'll see what happens if there is a special session on this drug possession bill, and we'll wait to get your thoughts on that, but appreciate you being on the program today.
Absolutely, and I just want to follow up with my phone number.
Oh, yeah.
My brain left for a moment. 509-207-8461 is my work cell phone, and I just want folks to know that they can call me anytime.
Okay, so the phone number for State Senator Shelley Short now that you may need to get in touch during outside of the legislative session, 509-207-8461. And then what's the best email for your office?
Shelly.short, S-H-E-L-L-Y dot S-H-O-R-T at L-E-G, short for legislature, dot W-A dot G-O-V is in Victor.
All right. Looking forward to hearing from you if you have any legislative concerns between now and next session. Thanks for joining us on the agenda.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
You bet. You bet. That's State Senator Shelly Short. By the way, we'll have our 12th District counterpart, Brad Hawkins, going to be on with us next Tuesday. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the bills that he's involved with. 137 now, News Radio 560 KPQ.